title today, God always comes to our rescue. Today we're going to be in 2 Timothy chapter 4. It's going to be in verse 16 is where we're going to be. And I know we mentioned our prayer concerns earlier today, and each and every one of them, y'all please remember to diligently. This church has never had a problem with praying. We have got some of the best prayer warriors that I consider to know, and I consider it pure joy when we get to come together and we get to pray like that as a church, as we lift up these people, because God is right there with them. There's not a doubt. And 2 Timothy 4 today, and it's in 16, is where I'm going to give you a brief outline that God is always right there with us. There's 3 points that I'm going to make today. And I want you to know that God gives us grace for the disappointments of life. God gives us strength for the trials of life. And God gives us hope. He does each and every one of us when we call on Him and when we lean on Him. I stand before you today. I'm wore out. Yesterday was hard on me. The back of my legs are sore. I spent on my hands and knees yesterday. And I was running screw guns. And I'm telling you, I haven't done that kind of work in years. And it told on me yesterday. And even the young boys, too. We had Hunter Seymour and another Jacob, Emily's boyfriend. They were wore out, too. And I said, my goodness, y'all have got to be tired. And he said, there ain't going to be no problem sleeping tonight. And I said, I feel you. Me, too. I said, I'm going to drive home and I'm going to go to bed is what I'm going to do and be ready to get up. That camp down there, the witness that it does, and y'all too, we had skimmed over our prayer concerns, but y'all also remember Madison Threlkill too, that she's going to be a CIT, or she'll be what they call an LIT. It's a learner counselor in training is what it is. Y'all remember her in your prayers too, because she is doing a wonderful thing as she's doing work for the Lord is what she's doing. Those people down there are missionaries. That's what they are. They depend solely on the Lord is what they do, to feed, to clothe, for everything. When you go down there and look at that shop, they let nothing go to waste. They use each and every scrap. If we mess up the cut on a board or anything like that, it's okay. It goes into a certain pile where we can use it later. It's amazing how they do not waste a single thing. And I think a lot of people in here have had the joy of going down there and seeing this camp at work and seeing what they do. Because you think about all the hundreds and hundreds of kids that come through here. Some may even be, this is their first time ever hearing about Jesus. What a blessing that is. And a lot of times too, they actually have a mobile division that goes into the schools and that tries to help them, or goes and parks adjacent where they can give out gospel tracts and they can share the Word of God. They are truly being His hands and feet. Now we see the example of Paul today. We see the example that he did his entire life. And we see how he lived for God, how he once was, he had turned, God transformed his life. Just like if you're saved here today, God has transformed your life. Look at what 2 Timothy 4:16 says. And we're going to look at the very last little part right there. I'm just going to be on those two verses, 16 through 18. He says, At my first defense, no one came to my support, but everyone deserted me. Look at what he says in the second sentence in 16. May it not be held against them. Let's pray. Lord, as we come to this, the second part of our service, Father God, I pray, Lord, that you will be with us, Father, as we look at your word. Lord, there's probably something going on in each and every person's life sitting in here today, Father. Something they're thinking about, Father, or something they might should have done or maybe need to do, whatever that case may be. God, I pray, Lord, that this next 30 minutes, we just look to you, Father God, for glory. We look to you for strength, Father God. We look to you for hope, Father God, for the days ahead. That, dear Lord, whatever may be bothering somebody, Father, I pray, Lord, that you calm us, dear Lord. That is everything we say and everything we do, bring your honor and bring you glory, dear Lord. Thank you, God, for your word and how all these years later, dear Lord, when we come to study it, Father God, we see you in the midst of it all. We see you, Father God, with your hand at work, just like your hand is at work in our lives today. Lord, be with us, dear God. Everybody that we mentioned on our prayer list, Father, and there's probably even some unspokens in here this morning, dear Lord, we just lift up to you. We know, God, your will be done. And we pray, God, that, Lord, we will be found in your favor, Father. Lord, we love you and we thank you. And these things I ask in your most precious and holy name. Amen. As we look at Paul's first defense right there, he said, "No one came to my support, but everyone has deserted me. May it not be held against them." God gives us grace for the disappointments of life, most definitely. But there's two other places in Scripture where this comes up. We see two more people that do the same thing, that praise the same thing Paul does. Paul's not the first one. He's basically the last one to do it. We see it in the life of Jesus. We see it in the life of Stephen also, where they say the same thing. Look at what, and I'm going to read it to you. I ain't going to have you flip there. But Luke 23:34 says, Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And after that, he was crucified on the cross. In Acts 7:60, it says, "Stephen fell on his knees and cried out, 'Lord, do not hold this sin against him.' And when he said this, he fell asleep. And Saul approved of their killing him." Do you realize that we're talking about the same exact person when we look at what he's done? From God gives us grace for the disappointments. Do you understand how the transformation has been? How exciting it has been and how much of a transformation it has been? What God has done in Paul's life? And yet at the very end, where he could have had the chance to be bitter, he could have had the chance to be resentful when things have not gone our way or things have happened to us that we didn't think was fair, Paul demonstrates grace on top of it all. Where he says, "No one came to me. May it not be held against them, Lord. It's okay." But look at what he says in 17. "But the Lord stood at my side and gave me strength, so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed and all the Gentiles might hear it." He still, at the very end, if you back up to 6, we already know that he's at the end of his life. We already know that the time he's being poured out like a drink offering. This is the end for Paul. And this is where we see nobody's there around me. Everyone's deserted me. But it's okay. Don't hold it against them, God. For this has been all for your glory. This has been all for you. It says, God gives us the strength for the trials of life. You know, we all have trouble. We all have troubles in our life. We have troubles with our cars, we have troubles with computers, we have troubles with bills, we have troubles with finances, we have troubles with our homes, we have troubles with families, we have troubles with siblings, we even have trouble with things that are supposed to make our life easier a lot of times. You know, you ever gotten like a something that is supposed to help you at home? You know, we got one of those, we found out too the hard way, but somebody had given us one of those Alexa things, or, you know, one of those things you can talk to and holler at and say, "Hey, turn on, you know, do this." The problem is we ain't got no service. It don't work good when you ain't got the right service. That's the same way when you don't have the right reception to Jesus. It don't work good Amen to that. I mean, you got to hear that. That's exactly what we're talking about. You need to have those. You need to have that LTE service. You need to have those five bars. Tim Atchison, you need to have them. You truly do, to be able to hear God and to be able to be with God and to be able to exactly see what he says. He says, God gives us strength for the trials of life. We served at a camp. Now, I watched a movie. You know, I'm going to be honest with you. I've learned as I've taken on this new role as pastor that what I put in is what I get out, okay? And I've been praying. I've been praying. I've been on my knees. I've been trying to guard myself from what I put in. It comes back out. So I've been trying to do it with my TV time, too, to make sure what I watch is wholesome. So the other night, we were looking through the DVR things, and I just wanted to relax is what I wanted. Just wanted to sit down, and Tanya was in the back. She was doing something, and so it was just me in the den. And I started flipping through all those movies and stuff, and I came across a movie I Can Only Imagine. And I hit play, and I said, I'm going to sit here, and I'm going to enjoy this. And it's just me. I'm going to put my feet up, and I'm going to enjoy it. And y'all all know the story. This is a true story. It was Bart Millard, the lead singer of Mercy Me. And he actually came, and I thought about it yesterday when I was thinking about all those kids that come through this camp. Bart, that's where he was saved, was through one of those camps that a school bus had brought him in and dropped him off. And it taught him how to journal. It taught him how to write things down. And when he had come to that song that he had written, I Can Only Imagine, and Mercy Me almost didn't record it, but almost another person did, Amy Grant. And at the last minute, she gave it back to him and said, no, this is your story. This has been your life. And she said, how long did it take you to write this song? He said, probably about 10 minutes. She said, no, honey, you've been writing this song your entire life. You've been writing it. And when he finally got the message, when God had revealed it to him, he had gone back to exactly that old journal that he had gotten at that summer Bible camp so many years ago. And he had gone back and started flipping through it of all the things that he had written down. And it was so amazing that it was all leading up to right then, because he had a rough childhood. He had problems. He had an abusive father. And they had reconciled all that at the end. It was a beautiful story. Oh, and when I walked away, I basically had tears in my eyes, because it had been such uplifting and seeing that this is, God, thank you, Lord, for what a message that we can see. God gives us strength for the trials of life, no matter what we may go through. So many people, and I'll be honest with you too, if you don't journal, I recommend you doing it. Write things down that comes across in your mind. I've got a notebook that I keep that I'll go through several of them in a year. But I like to keep and journal when somebody says something or if I see something. Always like to see it, because a lot of times, Wednesday night, we had the best little thing that I actually wanted to show you how God works. And I took a picture of something I had seen, and I thought, oh, wow, this will preach so good. And I'd shared it with a lot of the Wednesday night crew. Let me see if I can find it real fast, of course. It says, there will be no escape in future from telephones. This was taken from April the 11th, 1953. Okay? April the 11th, 1953. It's a picture of a newspaper article. Because they didn't have, I'm talking about the computers back then. This is how they did it. It was a newspaper you opened up every morning. It says, from Pasadena, the telephone of the future. Mark R. Sullivan, San Francisco president and director of the Pacific Telephone and Telegraph Company, said in an address Thursday night just what form the future telephone will take is, of course, pure speculation. But here is his story. In its final development, the telephone will be carried about by the individual, perhaps as we carry a watch today. How about that? It probably will require no dial or equivalent, and I think the users will be able to see each other if they want as they talk. How about that, Miss Becky? He says, who knows what it, but it may actually be able to translate from one language to another. Wow! Man, we have surpassed that some 60 years later, right? That there be no escape. The problem is, the thing is, what's so good about that is, we don't want to escape God. We want Him right in our lives, right in the midst. When we go through the trials of life, we want Him right beside us. We want Him to be right there with us. Third thing, God gives us hope. I was actually, when I gotten up this morning, it was totally different because the kids weren't there, Tanya wasn't there, so it was something totally different for me. And so I actually flipped on TV and In Touch with Charles Stanley was on. I enjoyed it. I really did. Because I was almost late. I was like, okay, I got to cut this off and go get ready. But he was in. If you have your Bible still open, flip over to Proverbs 3. And this is something that I have never noticed before, and he pointed out this morning. And I can't tell you how many times I've been in this chapter of Proverbs, and I've actually preached at it at some time because I've got it underlined or I've quoted it in a message or anything. Proverbs, the word, actually means resemblances of life is what it means, okay? In Proverbs 3, just look at 1 right there. We're just going to look 1 through 7 is where we're going to be. It says, look at what wisdom bestows well-being. He says, my son, do not forget my teaching, but keep my commands in your heart, for they will prolong your life many years and bring you peace and prosperity. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Then you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and man. This is where we've quoted a lot. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways submit to Him and He will make your path straight. But look at what 7 says. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. Don't be wise in your own eyes. What does that mean to you when you think about it? And when you think about what all the 3 points that I've covered today, and you think about all that Jesus Christ has done in your life, when you think about each and every blessing that He has rained down on you, how can you not? You will see, do not be wise in your own eyes, but know that it all comes from God. Every blessing comes from God. If the reason you're here this morning is from God, that you were able to get up is from God, that you see, when we say we trust Him, we need to trust Him with each and everything that we've got. You realize our understanding only goes so far, that we're only able to see just so far? We're not equipped to do it all, but God is. Let me share with you a personal testimony that goes way back, and I'm sure I've shared this before at a different time, but there was actually a time when we had one child, believe it or not. they come right after the other. I was in a hurry, y'all. We had one child, Emily, and she was 15 months old, and we had gotten pregnant with Anna, and we felt led to. Emily was so easy to take care of. I mean, it was just unreal. And we were like, oh, this is so easy. What's everybody complaining about? Emily was like sleeping through the night at like 3 weeks old. I mean, it was unreal. And then all of a sudden, Anna came, and that was a totally different story. Everything was different. Anna didn't sleep. Anna didn't eat. I mean, everything was different. But Tanya had really felt led to come home with the kids. And I'd basically shut it down and said no. And I didn't pray about it like I told her I did. And I just said, you know, because what the problem was I was looking at it through my eyes and not God's eyes is what was going on. I wasn't giving it a chance. I wasn't giving it a shot at all. It's what I was doing. I was really being selfish. And she had asked me, she had came out, this had gone on for a couple of months, and I said, Tanya, I just don't think there's no way that this could ever possibly work out. And she said, but I really feel led to be at home with them. I don't want them to go anywhere. Something's telling me not to. I'm scared. And I said, well, maybe it'll pass. Maybe it won't. But she says, have you actually really prayed about it? And I said, no, I haven't. She said, why? I said, because I'm scared. And she said, well, what I was doing was I was holding on so tightly to what I thought I knew I needed. Does that make sense? It does, right? I was holding on so tightly to what money was what it was. It was money. Because when I did the math and when I added up, it didn't make sense to me. But I never thought that God could provide a way. I didn't. I really didn't. This was years and years ago, too. And so I'd finally said, I had actually prayed about it. And I did, too. I wanted Tony to be at home with the kids. And it was just two, and it was sweet. And it would have taken off so much stress. And there was just so much happening right then. As most of you know who's had children. And there was so much going on. And so I had actually started praying about it. And I felt led, too, to go ahead and say, Tony, I think it's the right thing. And what we're going to do is we're going to trust God. We're going to give it to him is what we're going to do. And we're going to say, Lord, we know this doesn't make sense to us right now. This does not make sense to us, but I know you've got a plan for us. I think we even went back. I used a lot of scripture during that time to build myself up to as far as, you know what I mean, to soften the blow. I guess I'm not saying that right, to be honest with you. I used the scripture as an encouragement is what I did. I used the scripture to see God's work at hand, to see God moving and not myself moving. Because we find him most alive when we find him in his word. When we study his word, when we put in, what you put in is what you get out. Remember what I said that? Because it's fixing to be important. When you sat there and you studied God's word and you looked at the scriptures where it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. He doesn't say with just a little. He doesn't say with just this amount. He doesn't say with half. He doesn't say with 75%. He says with everything you've got, trust in him with all your heart. So finally I said, Lord, here it is. I'm going to trust you. And you're going to make a way. This is going to work out. And I said, go ahead, Tanya, quit your job. Everything's going to work. Tanya quit her job. She came at home and she had it all figured out. We can live off ramen noodles right here. And the kids really love chicken nuggets. They're not expensive. Y'all kidding. But y'all know what I mean. We tightened up our belts is what we did. Lo and behold, you know what? God was working the entire time behind the scenes. He was working. I didn't even know he was working, but he was working. And man, you want to know, 2 weeks later, I think a paycheck went by. It wasn't long, guys. It was not long. And it says, he said, I got a phone call for at work. He said, hey, Michael, this so-and-so, We got some plans here we've been working on for the last 6 months, and we've kept them top secret. Nobody knows, but we're actually moving y'all. I said, what? They're moving us where? Where you're going to go out to another plant? I said, we were at the downtown office. This is all through the Montgomery Waterworks. And I said, we're going to move out to a plant. He said, yeah, your new supervisor's out there. I said, when's this supposed to take place? He said, 2 days. I was like, oh, my goodness. So he said, these next 2 days, we want y'all to pack up everything and be ready to go. Just like that. Be ready to go. We're going to just make the move out there. They got a place. Y'all will reset up everything. I said, okay. So we did exactly that. We got everything packed up, loaded, made the transition several trips out there. Supervisor walked up to me. He introduced himself. Hey, my name's James. My name's Michael. He said, nice to meet you. I've heard a lot of good things about you. I said, oh, yeah, thank you, thank you. I said, James, got a crazy question for you. He said, no, ain't nothing crazy. Go ahead. I said, my wife just came home, and I've been praying. He said, okay, talk to me. I said, I understand y'all work a lot of overtime, and I was wondering if I could help out on y'all's crew. He said, I'd love to have you. I said, "Oh, Lord, thank you so much." I said, "You realize that man opened me up to 2 hours every evening and on Saturdays?" Well, guess what? By the time all that had happened and we did our W-2s, Anna was born in January. This took place in February. Tanya was at home in March. By the time December rolled around, we got our W-2s in. You realize I made $7,000 more than I did the year before? God blessed me. He did. That's exactly what he did. And he answered my prayers. And I said, "Thank you, Jesus, for being there." And you know how much time and sleep and everything I lost and stress and torment and everything over everything I thought I knew? It turns out I didn't know anything. God knew it all along. Amen? That is such a wonderful blessing. And you too can tell me too. I was out there speaking with a buddy this morning, and he was telling me how God had answered a prayer in his life. It's when we don't get wise in our own eyes. We fear the Lord. We shun the evil. We look to him because all the blessings come through him. And we see it in Paul too. If you still held your place, flip back to 2 Timothy right there, and I'm going to finish this out. If I can get back there myself, I lost my place. But he says the most amazing thing right there at the end that I want to leave you with. Hold on, I went past it too. 2 Timothy. I'm going to pick back up at 17 is what I'm going to do. It's 2 Timothy 4:17. "But the Lord stood at my side and gave me strength so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed, and all the Gentiles might hear it." And Paul says, "And I was delivered from the lion's mouth." 18 says, "The Lord will rescue me from every evil attack and will bring me safely to his heavenly kingdom. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen." As you look at God's word, as we know that God gives us grace for the disappointments of life, he gives us everything that each and every one of us needs. He gives us strength for the trials of life when we go through the hard times, especially when we deal with sicknesses and whatever may be put in front of us. And God gives us hope that we need to see it through his eyes, that we need to know that he's in charge and not us. Paul knew that, even though at the end of his life, He knew that. He knew that God had him right where he wanted, that Jesus was his Savior. Let's close in prayer. God, we just come to you right now, Father God, and say thank you, Lord, for Paul's example, Lord, and what a wonderful example it is that we can hear your word, Father God, and that we can apply it to our lives. God, thank you, Lord, for each and every blessing that you give each and every one of us, dear Lord. Thank you, God, for letting us assemble in your house, dear Lord. Thank you, God, for watching over us. Father, for going ahead of us, dear Lord, even when we don't know you're already working, God. You're working on our behalfs, Father. Lord, may we all the time remember to give you the honor and glory in every and in all things. Father, as we sing, dear God, praises to your name, Lord, be with us. Forgive us when we fail you. Forgive us of all of our sins, Lord. These things we ask in your most precious and holy name. Amen. As Brother Alvin comes to get ready for our hymn of invitation, I want you to remember one thing. This altar, 544, "Have thine own way, Lord." This altar is always opened for prayer, for whatever you need it to be. Because a lot of times, too, when we go through our life, a lot of times, I'm guilty of it, too. We try to take and try to wrangle it ourselves. We do. But we need to know that we serve a God who's got us, who is in control, who has us right where he wants us. Everybody stand. The altar's wide open if you need to come pray. If God's laid something on your heart, I'd be happy. Rededicate your life, whatever the Lord may be leading you. Go ahead, Brother Allen.